Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart. Lord, work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of suffering. I want to say, first of all, what a tremendous privilege I consider it to be to come into your house or your car or maybe into your ears through your Walkman or however you might be receiving this program today. I know I'm coming into actually some workplaces, some shops. One man told me that he shuts off his tractor in order to listen to me. And I had a military policeman speak to me in Winnipeg when we were there recently, telling me that he wouldn't miss a program if he could help it. And he's, I guess, I don't know if he's in a squad car. I guess, I don't know whether military policemen have squad cars, but I don't know where he listens to me, but he said he listens. So I just want you to know that I don't take this lightly, and I am so grateful for the opportunity. And of course, if you feel that I'm an intrusion, then it's real easy to shut me off, isn't it? Switch to another station. But Gateway to Joy was an open door for me back when Jan Wismer, who was then Jan Anderson, told me that she had made this proposal to the people in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it looked as though they were actually going to accept the idea, and through them and through Jan and through all the others that help to make this program possible, here we are. But this open door could be shut. And so we need to work together through this medium. I need you to work together with me, to cooperate through the powerful medium of prayer. There just isn't any way to overestimate the necessity of prayer. God doesn't do all the work on His battlefields. He can open a door, but He expects us to take our part in keeping it open. So I'm asking you to pray for me. Pray above everything else that God will make me a performer, a doer of the words that I speak to you, that they may not be just empty words. You know, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that I may end up being nothing but noise, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, if I have not love. And that love is divine love, which only God can give me. And it comes through prayer, and you can help me in that. Pray not only that God will make me a doer, but also that He will preserve me from stating things in a way which can very easily be misunderstood. I'm very aware of the fact that everything can be misunderstood. Jesus, who spoke perfectly, was misunderstood, misinterpreted, mocked, misquoted. So I don't expect to be exempt from the things which certainly must have been a torment to Him. But at the same time, a good many misunderstandings are just because of my lack of clarity, my failure to say exactly what I mean to say. So pray that God will give me the words. Pray that He will prevent misinterpretation of what I honestly mean to say. Pray that He will deliver me from insensitivity. When I say one thing to one group of people, I find that sometimes I offend another group of people, and I don't want to do that if there's any way of avoiding it, but at the same time, I know that I can't always avoid it. I guess you can please all the people some of the time and please some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. Pray that God will deliver me from muddiness of thinking, lack of clarity, and worst of all, from lack of charity. I do get some critical letters, and I know that some people out there don't think there's very much charity in the voice of this woman that they listen to. She's too opinionated, too hard, too didactic, too sure of herself. Pray that God will make me the kind of a representative He wants me to be. Pray for faithfulness and for the help of God in my preparations. Especially with this hard subject of suffering, I need your prayers. You men and women who stand with me, remember that God has given you a share in whatever effectiveness this program may have. God has given you an assignment to carry out in praying. So will you be faithful in doing that? We were talking about losses in our lives. Maybe in your life there has been a sudden slashing of your very heart, seemingly for no good reason. I want to remind you, my Father is the gardener. My Heavenly Father is the one who holds the pruning knife. What is the pruning for? The gardener loves the vine, remember that. The gardener wants to do for the vine the very best thing that can possibly be done in order to enable that vine to do exactly what it was created to do, to produce the very best fruit. And that's exactly what God's object is in having to prune us. The pruning is going to lead to fruit bearing, and fruit bearing leads to joy. I've been speaking from the book entitled A Path Through Suffering, which is my most recent book. To abide in the vine is to live our lives in Christ, living each event. A mother's wise refusal of a teenager's desire, or a life's work going up in flames. Living each event as Christ lived in the peace of the Father's will. Did the earthly life of our Lord appear to be a thundering success? What about the statistics of souls won, crowds made into faithful disciples, sermons heeded, commands obeyed? Would you think those statistics would be very impressive? I don't think so. In the end, remember, they all forsook him and fled. They couldn't even stay awake 1 hour when he asked them to watch with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet the Apostle Peter, the one who most miserably denied him at the last, well, I shouldn't say most miserably, certainly Judas's denial was the worst, wasn't it? But Peter did miserably deny the Lord Jesus. But the difference between him and Judas is that he repented with tears and later saw clearly what had taken place. This man, Peter said, who was put into your power by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed up and murdered. But God would not allow the bitter pains of death to hold him. He raised him to life again, and indeed there was nothing by which death could hold such a man. That's from Acts 2, 23 and 24. And I would say to you today that there is nothing by which death can hold any of his faithful servants either. Settle it once and for all. We can never lose what we have offered to Christ. We can never lose what we have offered to Christ. We can never lose what we have offered to Christ. Now, I said it three times. Was that necessary? I just want to burn these truths into your hearts if I can. Anything that we have offered to Christ, He's going to take care of. That pruning process, which seems so destructive, remember what it's for. And I want to read to you a few lines from Ugo Bassi's sermon in the hospital. This was preached back in the 19th century in a hospital in Rome, and he uses as his text the passage of John 15 about the gardener and the vine and the pruning of the branches. And he tells about how the gardener just has to be drastic in cutting back to the very stem the vine, despoiled, disfigured, left a leafless stalk alone through all the dark days that shall come. And all the wintertime, the wine gives joy to those who else were dismal in the cold. And he goes on to describe how the vine stands out in the frost and endures in long, lone steadfastness the whole winter, not bitter for the torment undergone, not barren for the fullness yielded up, as fair and fruitful towards the sacrifice as if no touch had ever come to it, but the soft airs of heaven and dews of earth, and so fulfills itself in love once more. And now what more shall I say, Bassi goes on, do I need here to draw the lesson of this life, or say more than these few words following up the text? The vine from every living limb bleeds wine. Is it the poorer for that spirit shed? Are they the richer for that gift's excess, speaking of those who drink the wine? And then these four lines, quoted so often in my books and on the wall of my study, I have them framed. Measure thy life by loss instead of gain, not by the wine drunk, but the wine poured forth. For love's strength standeth in love's sacrifice, and whoso suffers most hath most to give.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.